Amen. Every single one of us, whether we know it or not, whether we believe it, whether we accept it, or even whether we obey, we all have a call of God upon our lives. We have a destiny, a purpose in Christ, a plan that God has designed specifically for each one of us individually. In the Word, in 1 Peter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says that we've been chosen. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Christ. Before we were even born, we were set apart for this same special purpose. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before you were born, I set you apart. Just like we have plans for something before we make it or before we buy it, God, the creator of heaven and earth, had plans for us before he created us. Psalm 139, verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. See, God knew us before we were even conceived. God really does have plans, great plans, for your life. And if we make the decision to accept God's call and walk in his ways, we can live the most successful, the most meaningful, the most purpose-filled, exciting life that would be possible for us. His plans are greater than anything that we could ever imagine. We might be thinking, well, you know, I'm no superhero. I'm, you know, just one little person. I mean, what great things, what could God do through me? Well, all we have to do is be willing. If we are just willing, God is able, more than able, to do great things through us. He really is. We've looked at all kinds of things over the past couple months that will help us to be able to walk out our destiny. But today I want to look at it just a little bit different in light of the fact that this is Invited Friends Sunday. I wanted to see how a true friend can help us fulfill our destiny. In fact, maybe we can even learn today how to be that kind of friend so we can help other people walk in their calling. Maybe you feel like you don't even really have any good friends. No one that you could count on to help you. That's just one more reason to learn how to be that good friend, because friendship is a two-way street. And when you offer yourselves, when you give of yourselves unselfishly as a friend to other people, what happens is sooner or later that friendship begins to be returned by those people. We need to remember that God didn't just put us here in isolation. He created us to be interdependent. Not independent, which where we don't need anybody, not dependent, where we need everybody all the time, but interdependent, where we need one another. That's how God made us. He made us to work and function together as a unit, as a body. It's very clear in the scriptures. We need one another, and besides, life is a lot more interesting with friends, isn't it? I mean, who wants to be alone all their life? So what I want to do today is look at just a few of the qualities, because I don't have time to get into them all, just a few of the qualities that we should be able to find in a true friend, whether that's us or the friend that we would want to have. The first thing I want to look at is acceptance. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Without acceptance, a relationship could never even start. God wants us to open up our lives and allow other people in, even people who are not perfect, because who is perfect? You know, and sometimes we think, well, they got this problem, they got that. Yeah, well, we all got problems. And it's important that we be able to accept people for who they are. Of course, I'm not saying to accept their sin and, you know, go along with that, or to allow some evil people or murderers or whatever to come and hang out at our house. That's not what I'm talking about. But if people are trying to serve Christ, or, you know, or we feel that God is leading us to them to, you know, to speak to them maybe, or just people that God puts in our path that, you know, that we find we begin to have a relationship with, we need to open up and allow them into our lives enough where we can become a friend to them and see what God does. One of the comments that I've often heard from people who have visited this church is how friendly the people are here. And I know, you know, many times I've met new people, and I see, you know, people that are hanging out with them and talking with them, especially upstairs afterwards in the fellowship hall, and that's a good thing, you know, to get to know people and to get out of our regular circle of people that we know, our circle of friends. Step outside and meet somebody new. Every new person you meet is another opportunity for a whole new rich, you know, experience in your life, and also an opportunity for you to be a blessing to that person in their life. And it's also an opportunity to bring glory to God. I hope that no one here ever thinks that they're so special that we can't reach out to those who don't know Christ yet. Because we've all been called to do that. And our love for God can never rise above our love for other people. The only reason that we can even love is because God first loved us. He reached out to us in all our glorious sin, as we were. And usually, he did that through somebody, right? Through another person. And he made a way for us to be accepted through the death of his son, Jesus. A true friend will accept us in whatever situation we're in, whether we're happy or sad or rich or broke, whether we're pleasant or not. Knowing that we are accepted gives us confidence. It gives us the confidence to begin to be who we are and who God created us to be. Another quality of true friendship is loyalty or faithfulness. In Colossians 4:9, Paul finally calls Onesimus a faithful and dear brother. 1 Peter 5:12, Peter says, "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother." That was a trait that was highly considered, highly valued, to have faithful people working with you, walking by your side. Somebody you can trust. When you're doing a task or just going about your life, there's nothing more comforting than knowing that there's someone out there, someone you can trust, somebody who is faithful to you, that's there when you need them. How many times in our life have we had to call a friend for help in time of need or a time of trouble? And we were rescued by them because they were faithful. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times." Too many people are fair weather friends. As long as it's in some, there's something in it for them, they're there. They're happy to come around and enjoy your fruits, the fruits of your labor, your blessings. But then if we need help, all of a sudden they're a little too busy. A true friend isn't like that. A true friend will put aside their needs even and their desires when they know that you have a desperate need. When they know that there's something that you need to have done or some help that you need, they'll just let go of their stuff and they'll come over and they'll help you because they're a real friend. There have been many times in my old life where I've either been in a jam, either a major jam or a minor jam. And there's no greater feeling than calling up somebody, calling up a friend, and hearing them say, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." It's like, "Oh gosh, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, you know, or what do you need? What do you need? I'll take care of it for you. You got it. If you saw The Lord of the Rings, that trilogy of movies, The Lord of the Rings, there was no more faithful friend than Sam to Frodo. Remember that? And I love those movies. If you're into that kind of movie at all, a science fiction trilogy, but there are so many Christian values in those movies. They're so well done. I'd highly recommend them. Anyway, Frodo is on this quest to basically save the earth, save what they call Middle Earth there, and he has to destroy this ring that this evil person wants to use. And there's a point where he's about ready to give up. Actually, there's a couple points where he's ready to give up. And Sam, his friend, who was afraid himself to go, afraid many times himself, when he saw that the young Frodo was ready to give up, he jumped into the fray there and encouraged him, strengthened him, fought for him, went with him, did whatever he could. He was always there as a loyal friend. And it was because of Sam's faithfulness to Frodo that Frodo was able to fulfill his destiny and save the world. Or at least, you know, Middle Earth there. True story. The story may not have been true, but the friendship, the ideal friendship, the kind, not just the idea of a friendship, but the ideal friendship, when, you know, the one who would always be there to help you, the one who, you know, is always by your side. That's what they portrayed in that movie, and it was something to be looked up to and honored and respected. The way they portrayed it, I really liked it. Another attribute of a true friend is sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, this is telling us that God wants us to give Him our lives, our bodies, as a sacrifice to Him, to serve Him. Well, the main way, the way that we serve God most often, in the way we bring Him honor and glory, is to serve His people. I mean, we can't bring God and give Him a basket of fruit. We can't go help Him change a flat tire. We can't help Him pay a bill. We can't help Him babysit. We can't help Him clean His house. We can't do that to God, but we have all of God's people that He calls us to love and to serve one another and to be there for one another. And that's when we serve others, when we sacrifice for others, we're really sacrificing for God. And we bring glory to His name by loving others and serving His people. True service will always end up demanding sacrifice. There's no way around it. We'll have to give up some of our comforts, some of our little things that we want to do to help somebody else. That's sacrifice. When we sacrifice for someone, we start to build a bond between them and us. And that relationship begins to grow and it's strengthened. And that's something that God is always looking for. Father, that they might be one as we are one. That's what Jesus prayed. That was the last prayer that He prayed on this earth. Father, that they might be one as we are one. He's always trying to build unity, bring us together. And when we give ourselves to others, when we sacrifice our own ways, because basically, we got to admit it, we're all selfish. Everybody's selfish to some degree because we have a self. And this self, the flesh, wants its way. Right? It wants its way. It always does. It would rather pamper itself than go out and disturb its peace and quiet or its pleasure or its whatever and have to go out and struggle and sacrifice to help somebody else. Nobody, like, you know, wakes up in the morning and says, I just can't wait to sacrifice today. You know? Of course we don't think like that. But we should actually wake up and think, I can't wait to be used by God today, to be a blessing to others, to serve others. And yes, it might be very well be a sacrifice. But at the same time that we give that sacrifice and it causes us to build that relationship, there's something else that happens to it. It draws things out of us. When we reach in and we sacrifice out of our desire to not sacrifice, when we push ourselves and we give out of the depths of ourselves, whether it's time, money, energy, advice, help, whatever it is, what happens is it begins to build our character. And it develops us. It helps us to grow into the person that God created us to be. Remember what happened to Abraham? He was an old man, him and his wife Sarah. They were old. They were around almost 100, I think, and they never had any children. And finally, through a miracle of God, because of a promise from God, they believed that promise, and they ended up having a child, a young boy by the name of Isaac. And he grows up just as a young boy, and God says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. I want you to take up on the mountain, sacrifice him on an altar, and offer him up to me. Can you imagine, after waiting 100 years almost for a baby, and then just as he's grown up to be a little child and you begin to really love him and get to know him, who he is, and appreciate him, and God says, now give him back to me. Well, that's what God wanted to see. He wanted to see if Abraham would be that kind of a friend, if he would be willing to do that. But the key word there is willing, even though Abraham didn't know it yet. Because when Abraham took him up there, and he was ready to sacrifice Isaac at the very last second, just before he was ready to do it, God had an angel stop his hand. And he spared Isaac's life. But the truth is God never planned to have him take his son's life. He wanted to find out if Abraham was really a friend, if he was willing to make a sacrifice for God. Abraham passed the test. He proved his friendship to God, and in fact, three different times in the Bible, Abraham is called a friend of God, God's friend. And because of that sacrifice, Israel, the nation of Israel, was born. And all of Abraham's offspring, which includes us, became the children of the promise. Because he believed in the promise of God, and he was faithful and believed it was credited to him. And we also get to reap the benefits of that. So because of his faithfulness as a friend to God, we get to walk in what God planned for us. So you just don't know, by you doing what you need to do, you never know how many people it's going to affect. In Abraham's case, it affected every one of us. All people. What an amazing thing. Now we can receive the promises of God. A true friend will share his heart with you. He'll open up and tell you what's going on. He'll not hide his thoughts from you, but he'll speak plainly. The closer and more intimate we become with somebody, the more we find ourselves just sharing what's going on. We begin to just speak out our heart. And sometimes being able to share helps us to feel better. I happened to come across a friend of mine just the other day, and I was talking with him for a little while, and he was telling me about what a bad few days he'd been having, and actually the past week had just been really rough for him. And I said, so what's going on? You know, and he began to tell me all this stuff, and you know, I began to share with him a little bit and some stuff that had been going on in my life. And he, at the end of the conversation, he says, you know, I feel a whole lot better now just having someone to talk to. And this guy's not even, he's sort of a in-between kind of a Christian. He's not quite all the way there yet. But it made a difference in his life, just having someone that he could talk to, someone that he could share with. Exodus 33:11 says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. See, God wants us to be able to talk. Just talk face to face. Just open up. There was an ad in the paper from a guy who promised to, for $5, listen to anyone who wanted to talk. And he said he wouldn't interrupt you. He would just, you know, give the affirmative sounds, the oohs and the ahs and all that. And he would just listen. And you know what he said? He said, business is really good. People need someone to care enough about them to listen to them. And to actually be concerned about them. It's a great thing for husbands and wives to try too. Communication. That's what we call it. It's important. Communication is really important. Another quality of a true friend is someone who is willing to correct or rebuke in love. Now, nobody likes to do that, and nobody likes to receive it. It's one of those kind of things like, we know we need it, but, you know, I really don't want it, and I don't want to do it. But it helps us grow the way we're supposed to be when we get it or give it. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Sometimes God puts together the most difficult combinations of people. I've seen it over and over. I'm sure many of us have. They come from opposite ends of the universe, and they end up getting married. But it's for a reason. There's a reason behind that. It's so that we can take those rough edges off of each other and help one another to grow. Only a true friend could get away with some of the things that we have to say, some of the rebukes that need to be made. You'd have to know that person loves you or cares about you to be able to listen to that and not get upset. Proverbs 27:5-6 is, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy just multiplies kisses. We think our enemies are the ones that are going to speak harshly to us, but usually they don't. Usually they're full of lies and they just try to butter you up. It's a true friend who's going to tell you when you got a problem. And the most important quality that is above all the others, that is absolutely needed in a true friend, is love. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. According to Corinthians 13:7, it says that love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It never fails. And it goes on to explain a lot more about love right there in Corinthians 13. And it's a big order. It's a tall order. And where do we find a friend who can do all those things? I can't do it. I can't do that all the time. I don't know anybody that can do that all the time. There's only one person that I can even imagine that could do all those things all the time and never fail. And his name is Jesus. We have a true friend in Jesus. He proves his love and friendship in every one of the areas that we just discussed. He will accept us today, whoever we are, whatever we've done, whatever we've been, whatever we've seen, whatever we've heard, whatever we've spoken. He wants to be our friend. The Pharisees meant to put him down when they called him a friend of sinners. He took it as a badge of honor. Thank God, he is a friend of sinners, because that means he can be our friend. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't stand aside and condemn us. He doesn't run away from us. He doesn't destroy us with a word, which he could if he wanted. Instead, he knocks on the door of our heart and says, please let me in. I want to be your friend because I love you. He's faithful. Matthew 28:20, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In our failures, he won't fail us. Even when we are unfaithful, he is always faithful. He will be faithful to us in every situation that we ever face. You know, sometimes we feel that God isn't there, but he is. He's always there by our side. We just have to turn to him. We have to find him in that situation. Another thing that God does is he's the friend that will correct and rebuke. He'll use his word to do that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God opens up his word to us through his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it says, will bring to our remembrance the words of God. As we're about to do something wrong or we've done something wrong, the Holy Spirit brings that conviction. We read the word and all of a sudden something stands out. Here's an area that we need to address. God is the friend who will rebuke us, correct us, train us in righteousness. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's not just when we read it. It's always there with us. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. When we have an attitude, when we're thinking wrong, God's word can come in and teach us, correct us, rebuke us, train us, instruct us. Jesus is the friend who will love us through past our flesh and bring us to maturity. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he doesn't want to leave us back there in the dust. He doesn't want to leave us as an infant who can only drink the milk, it says. He wants us to get to the meatier subjects of the word. He wants to bring us on through, raise us up and teach us, help us to grow, help us to become who we were created to be. And so he uses his word to instruct us and teach us, correct and rebuke. He knows our potential, and he wants to direct us and show us how to get where we're supposed to go. God wants to speak plainly to us. Remember, these are all the attributes we talked about as a friend. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus wants to speak to us as a friend and let us know what's going on. He wants to share his heart with us. The problem is not on his end. The problem is we have to learn to listen. I talked about that last week when we were talking about Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. We were discussing the different verses there. And one said, a time, there's a time to speak and a time to listen. We need to learn to be still, be quiet before God, to listen to his voice. It's so hard for us because we want to speak and speak and speak. And then as soon as we're done speaking, we got business to get to, right? We want to get up and do what we got to do. We've spent our time in prayer now, and now we got to move on. And God says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wasn't this a conversation? Wasn't this a relationship? You spoke to me, now take some time and listen. He wants us to hear his voice because he wants to speak plainly to us. Whether it's through prayer, whether it's in worship, whether it's reading his word or just spending time just sort of meditating on God, just giving our mind over to Jesus, to Christ, to our Lord and Savior. We need to listen to God. And finally, Jesus loves us. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down one's life for his friends. Again, he's calling us friends. A friend that loved us so much that he's willing to lay down his life for us. Jesus proved his love for us the day he went to the cross. There's a scripture that tells us says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth nor angels or demons or anything. Nothing will separate us from God's love. He's not about to give up loving us. And again, he proved that love for us. The absolute proof was the day he went to that cross. The beating, the torture, the mocking, the humiliation, the pain and suffering, all that went on. But you know what? That wasn't even the worst of it. The bad part was the sin. Imagine, you know, I was just thinking when I was doing this, I was thinking of some of the crimes that we just recently have heard about. For instance, the Sandy Hook massacre. All those children killed. The grief, the pain that went through those parents. The suffering that they went through. One day's sin in one little part of one state, one little part of a town, one school, one person's sin. Think about the literally billions of people throughout the years, billions now, billions in the future, billions in the past, and all that sin, all that grief, all that pain, all that suffering, all of that was put on Jesus Christ. That's too much to bear. None of us could have done it. Jesus didn't want to do it. Father, if there be any other way, but nevertheless, thy will be done. Because he was a true friend, he said, if there's no other way, I'll help out my friends by doing it this way. And it wasn't just the sin. He was also cut off from his father then, the one that he loved. He'd never sinned in his life. He never had any reason for his father to not be able to be with him because God can't, and sin, they just don't mix. But now with all that sin, he was cut off from the father. All that was for us because he was a true friend. And he wanted the best for us. He wanted us to be able to know our Heavenly Father. He wanted us to be able to be what we were created to be able to fulfill our purpose, our destiny. He's a true friend. You have a friend, a true friend in Jesus. One day the love of all of our family and our friends will pass away. And at that point, the friendship of only one person is going to matter. And he's the only friend who can hold your hand as you walk through the door of death. And every one of us are going to get there. He's the only friend you can take with you when you leave the world. He's the only friend that you need on the day of judgment when we stand before God. He's always been there for us, and he always will be. You might go far away, but he'll be there. You might be working hard and you stop to wipe the sweat off your brow, and he's there with you then. You might be harassed and made fun of and ridiculed because you're a Christian. He's right there with you. You might be sick, poor, lonely, angry, hurt, discouraged, lost, whatever it is, and he's there. You might grieve him or doubt him hide or run away from him. He's still right there beside you. And you might have even grown cold and lost the intimacy that you had with him, and he's still there waiting. Even when we are not faithful, he is faithful. You may have lost your direction, but he's there waiting to help us get back on course, helping us to get into the race, our race, the race that was designed for us, so that we can find our purpose again. Even now, he's extending his hand to you, the same hand that had the nails pierced through it, the stake pounded through it because of our sins. And he wants us to know. He wants to be your friend. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Maybe today you realize you haven't been the best friend of God. But I'm happy to be able to tell you that your best friend is still here with you today. And we can make it right. We can make it right. If you need prayer for anything here today, if God's been speaking to your heart, you just want a touch from him, I invite you to come up for prayer. But right now we're going to close in prayer. And I also want to invite you to hang out, and we've got coffee and donuts upstairs, so you're welcome to join us. But let's close in prayer right now. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much for being the friend that you are, the friend who loves at all times, the friend who never, ever would leave us or forsake us, the friend who accepts us, is faithful to us, the friend who speaks to us plainly, the friend who is willing to make such a great sacrifice for us. We thank you, Lord, for being that kind of friend. And I thank you for each person that is here and hearing this word. And Lord, I pray that all of us would receive the extended friendship of Jesus Christ, and that we would turn our hearts towards him, and that we would commit to being that kind of a friend to him and to his people. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your friendship. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.